Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, and welcome to my Facebook Live broadcast and my podcast broadcast, both doing them simultaneously. Isn't that amazing, wonderful technology? Today's subject is going to be a tricky one, but it's maybe the most important subject we'll talk about when it comes to long-term care. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. I do need to say this before we start today. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. Everything I talk about here is my opinion only. That said, I do have a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. So I can prepare trusts and powers of attorney, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about trusts and powers of attorney in the context of long-term care planning. They're probably one of the most important elements of long-term care planning. They're also one of the most misunderstood elements in any kind of planning. There's lots of different kinds of trusts. I want to focus on the garden variety revocable trust today. There's special needs trust, there's irrevocable trust, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm not talking about any of that. We're talking today about the standard garden variety revocable trust that Mildred and John did somewhere, or they're going to do at some point in time. I need to talk about wills for just a minute. Lots of people talk to me when we're talking about long-term care issues. They'll say, well, I have a will and my son is the executor. And my answer is, I don't care. Why don't I care? Because my clients aren't dead, and wills only go into effect when you're dead. They don't help us at all for long-term care planning. They're of no value to me whatsoever. And not only that, all wills go through probate. So you're condemning your family to a court proceeding in which basically they're suing the estate to get what you and dad left. And the reason for that is wills don't transfer anything to anybody. Wills are really a letter of intent to a judge. Your Honor, I used to own all this stuff, but I don't own it anymore. I had title to it, but title to my house, title to my car, title to my bank accounts, title to whatever, died when Mildred and I died. So we don't know who the new title holders are. You can understand wills and trusts really easily if you understand title. And when you and your husband or your spouse or your whatever it is, when you're both gone, title to everything you own generally died with you. So title to the house. So now we got to figure out who the new title holders are. In your will, it said it's your three lovely children, and hopefully the judge will agree with that after 9, 10, 12, 14 months and a lot of costs that, yeah, it's going to go to the three kids. All of that can be avoided, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the real reason that wills are of no value to me and what I do is because wills only go into effect when you're dead. In my world, nobody's dead. They're incapacitated, they're infirm, they're demented, they're whatever, but they're not dead. Trusts avoid probate, and that's primarily how they're sold. They're sold to avoid probate. And that's a good thing. We want to avoid probate. But again, in my world, most of the people I talk to, almost all of them, I can guarantee you, are not dead. They're alive. They may be incompetent or incapacitated or have dementia, whatever it is, but they're alive. And all of a sudden, the trust that avoided probate doesn't apply when it comes to frailty issues. Most trusts simply don't, and powers of attorney, simply don't deal with frailty issues. They only deal with what happens when I'm dead issues. For instance, you have a nice husband and wife. They're lovely people. They have a house. Let's just make this easy. All they have is a house. They don't even have any furniture in the house. They just have a house. And so dad has a stroke. Dad has dementia. Dad whatever. And dad goes to a nursing home. Well, the problem is dad still owns half of everything because it's probably a community property trust. So dad owns half the house, dad owns half the money, dad owns whatever, and it's an undivided half. Medi-Cal looks at it and says if he and his wife have their names on a bank account with $200,000 in it, they're going to count it all as his. They don't like divide it up into halves. It doesn't work that way. So where in the trust does it allow mom to deal with stuff that nobody's dead? In addition, if mom dies first under most trusts, who does everything go to? It goes to dad. And dad's in a nursing home and he's incompetent, and that may not be a really good thing to do. So where in the trust does it say who can amend? Well, Bob, it says right up front, it says amend. It says the power to amend or revoke this trust are personal to the trustors, that's mom and dad, and may be exercised by them at any time. So Mildred and I can amend the trust. Yeah, but it's plural. It says it takes both of you to amend the trust, because later on down below it says the power to amend or revoke this trust is personal to the trustors and may not be exercised by any other person, including the person that holds your power of attorney. So all of a sudden, we can't change the trust because dad had a stroke or dad has dementia and dad doesn't know what planet he lives on. So all of a sudden, that trust that was going to work perfectly well for probate purposes now has a problem when it comes to frailty planning, long-term care planning. So you need to look at your documents in terms of what's it going to do if I don't die? Does it allow someone to transmute community property, undo community property? Does it allow someone to make unlimited gifts? Who does it allow to amend the trust? Who can resign? Can a trustee resign? Under what circumstances can a trustee resign? There's all kinds of things. Who can apply for Medi-Cal? Who can do the things necessary to qualify for Medi-Cal or for VA benefits? Who's empowered to do all those things? Just because you have a trust doesn't mean that it has frailty language. Most trusts are designed to avoid probate. Most trusts do not deal with what happens if I'm not dead, what happens if I'm mostly dead. And that's a really, really, really big issue. Let me talk about powers of attorney for a minute. And I want to talk about the power of attorney for property. People say all the time, well, why would I need a power of attorney for property? I have a trust. Well, there's lots of different kinds of property. But for instance, a power of attorney for finance or a power of attorney for property might be, you know, who could do your taxes? Who could sign contracts? Who could sue on your behalf? Who could defend on your behalf? Who could pay off your debts? Who could find what your debts are? Who could change the beneficiaries on an insurance policy or an annuity? Who has access to your pension? There's a whole list of things. Good powers of attorney are not two or three pages long. Good powers of attorney are not the kind that have all the little dashes and the last one says initial here for all of the above. In addition, is your power of attorney springing or non-springing? Those are legal terms. You can look them up. I'll tell you what they mean in general terms, not legal terms. A springing power of attorney simply means it only goes into effect when you're declared incompetent. So you get two letters from two doctors saying dad's not competent, then mom or whoever it is has his power of attorney. The other kind of power of attorney are immediate, which means they're in effect the day you sign them. In my world, and in most people who do what I do's world, the second one is preferable. Because let's go back to the trust. And I talk about this in my workshops a lot. And my next workshop, I have a workshop coming up tomorrow and one next Saturday. Tomorrow's almost full. Next Saturday, we just announced it yesterday, it will fill up soon. So if you would like to attend either the workshop tomorrow, the 19th, or next week's workshop on Saturday, you can simply go to my website or call me or send me an email and I'll make sure you get on the list. If all else fails, you can always call me at 800-999-8007. But remember I said earlier it takes mom and dad to both amend the trust, and dad's in a nursing home. And mom, in order to get the power of attorney, because the power of attorney was springing, mom had to go get letters from two doctors saying dad was not competent. Well, the minute she did that, she may have impacted the trust, because remember in mom and dad's trust, it took both of them to amend, alter, or change the trust. So the documents sometimes don't work together. Now remember, everything I'm talking about here is my opinion only and varies from family to family to family to family and situation to situation. I'm talking in very general terms. I'm talking in human terms. I'm not talking in legalese or legal terms. If you want to know more about it and you don't, you know, you absolutely have to talk to an attorney, I can refer you to some good ones. There's also some that, never mind. But I am licensed to prepare trusts and powers of attorney, and I've been doing it for 15 years. And when I do trusts and powers of attorney, I care much more about frailty issues than I care about dying issues. Yeah, we're going to avoid probate and we're going to do all that neat stuff. But I want you to take the time to look at your documents. And I want you to look for things in your documents that specifically deal with who can amend, who can make gifts, who can transfer property, who can transmute property. Does your power of attorney give somebody the authority to amend or create a trust? And those are all really important questions. I have a fact sheet on this for those of you that are subscribers to assetsandaging.com. You have access to that fact sheet. But looking at powers of attorney and trust in a different way is really, 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 I think, important and can make a huge difference in whether or not you and your family are going to be able to protect what you worked a lifetime for, apply for government benefits to which you're entitled, and get what you need to do in an orderly fashion within the confines of the family. Not having to go to court, not having to do a probate, not having to do a conservatorship, not having to do all those kinds of things. I hope all of this has been helpful. I can't talk about it exhaustively. We just don't have the time. But again, I have a workshop tomorrow. Today is Friday the 18th. I have a workshop tomorrow on the 19th, and then next week, what is that, the 26th, I think? And you're welcome to call me or email me and get on that list and make sure you get into one of my workshops where we talk about this in much more detail. Thanks so much for joining me here on my podcast, Assets and Aging. I'm doing a simulcast here. My podcast is every Wednesday at noon and at right here at Facebook Live. Thank you so much for joining me. Please share this with someone. Share this video with someone in your family or someone you love who is struggling with the issues of aging. It's important they understand how trusts and powers of attorney impact frailty, long-term care, the issues of aging, Medi-Cal, VA benefits, government benefits, how all that's impacted by the quality of the documents you have. If you need to have them take a look at stuff, give me a call. I'll be happy to do that. You can always come into my office or get to one of my workshops. Thanks so much for joining me. I will see you here again real soon on right here on Facebook Live, Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I hope you all have a great day. Thanks so much.